Welcome back to the Paul to Timothy Institute podcast. I'm Dr. Mike Oney, and today we are wrapping up part 7 with our series titled Final Words for Future Leaders. It's taken from John chapters 12 through 17. Specifically, in this wrap-up message of the series, let's talk about choosing your inner circle of leaders. These are people whom you influence and significantly influence you. Now, there is a reality that undergirds every strong and effective ministry. It's this. I need to have an inner circle of the right leaders in my life if we are going to fulfill our calling. You need that, and I need that. In this series, Final Words for Future Leaders, we're looking at John chapters 12 through 17 and the key messages that Jesus gave his disciples in those chapters. In John chapters 13 through 17, Jesus spends most of his time with 11 leaders. Now, you know well from the Gospels, he had many more leaders than those whom he spent those last hours with, and yet he invested in 11 of them this very concentrated amount of time right before he is arrested. Luke 10 verse 1 talks about 72 other leaders that he had. What is significant in these chapters of John chapters 13 through 17, is that Jesus chose to spend his last 10 or so hours with his inner circle, knowing that they would carry the greatest influence in establishing the church. Now, before we go any further, it's really easy for us to jump to very practical principles that we need to think about relative to our own inner circle of leaders whom we spend key time with, the people that influence us and those whom we influence significantly. Here's a few of them. Your lasting legacy will be built not only on what you do, but even more so on your inner circle of leaders whom you empower. Secondly, prioritizing your time with your inner circle of leaders is always good business. And thirdly, we need to accept the fact that some whom we chose as leaders to bring on to our team may not make it to the inner circle. Now, let's jump into the theme of today. What to know about the core qualities of a great inner circle leader whom you incorporate into your life. There are 5 core qualities that I see in Jesus's teaching from John 12 through John 17 that emphasize these core inner circle leader qualities. The first one is this: an inner circle leader is someone that knows to expect painful seasons of ministry. In John 12, verses 24 through 26, Jesus said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains alone. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. The one who loves his life loses it, and the one who hates his life in this world will keep it to eternal life. If anyone serves me, he must follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, the Father will honor him." There are 3 really strong points of emphasis about expecting painful seasons and seasons of sacrifice from these 3 verses. Ministry requires sacrifice. Verse 24, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies. Ministry often brings personal loss. The one who loves his life, in verse 25, Jesus said, loses it. And the third thing about sacrifice is ministry demands serving beyond just the routine. Verse 26, if anyone serves me, he must follow me. Be involved specifically with what Jesus is doing now. Winston Churchill was a tremendous leader and genuinely saved England. Without question, He was raised up as a leader to sovereignly lead this tiny island nation to protection and significance. Let me give you a little background of what was going on right before he was elected as prime minister to lead England through World War II. The prime minister that preceded him was Neville Chamberlain. And on September 30th, 1939, he had just returned from meeting with Hitler. And when he came back, he did this speech, and Chamberlain is famous for this. Infamous is a better word. He said, "I believe it is our time for peace. Now go home and get a nice, quiet sleep." He came back to England and said, "All is well." You know, it's interesting. That was September 30th, 1939, that Neville Chamberlain made that speech. And on October 5th, 1939, just a few days after Neville Chamberlain's speech, Churchill delivered a speech. He wasn't prime minister, but he was serving in the House of Commons, and he too gave a speech about that agreement called the Munich Agreement that Chamberlain was touting as something that would bring great peace. That's not what Churchill said about it. He said, "If what you have agreed to is a disaster of the first magnitude." He also said, "This is a total unmitigated defeat." We know from history that Winston Churchill was right about Hitler, and Chamberlain was absolutely wrong. Now, it's interesting, just go a few months forward, and now Winston Churchill has been placed into the role of prime minister. He followed Chamberlain. And in his first speech to the House of Commons on May 13th, 1940, he did exactly the opposite of what Chamberlain was trying to do. Chamberlain said, "All is well," and I'd like to quote to you from the speech that Winston Churchill gave, emphasizing the sacrifice of season that was at hand. Churchill said this, "I would say to the House, as I said to those who have joined this government, I have nothing to offer but blood, toil, tears, and sweat. We have before us an ordeal of the most grievous kind. We have before us many long months of toil and struggle. You ask, what is our policy? I will say it is to wage war with all our might and with all our strength that God can give us. To wage war against a monstrance tyranny never surpassed in the dark. Lamentable catalog of human crime. You ask, what is our aim? I can answer in one word, victory. Victory at all costs. Victory in spite of all terror. Victory, however long and hard the road may be. For without victory, there is no survival." What did Churchill bring England? A realistic understanding that they were facing a painful season in their lives. Let me encourage you, surround yourself with an inner circle of leaders that knows that there are times of prolonged seasons of great sacrifice in ministry. That kind of inner circle leader will help keep you balanced, focused, and in the game. Let me give you another quality of an inner circle leader. It's somebody that is humble. You need inner circle leaders who are humble, and that humility is brought out in two ways. Number one, they speak directly into your life, and number two, you speak directly into their lives. That requires humility, where image is set aside, and we actually connect with great transparency, with great encouragement, and with focused restoration. John 13:14. Jesus said, "So if I, the Lord and teacher, washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet." We know from studying the passage, Jesus is talking about encouragement, accountability, and restoration. Surround yourself with an inner circle of leaders who will tell you the truth about yourself with a heart to help you. Colin Powell, former U.S. Secretary of State and general in the military, said every organization should tolerate rebels who tell the emperor he has no clothes, and this particular emperor expects to be told when he is naked. What a great emphasis for a leader. An inner circle leader expects painful seasons of sacrifice and is humble. Third quality, an inner circle leader is spiritually discerning. Jesus spoke about that in a couple verses in a very key way in these last hours that he spent with his inner circle. John 14:16, Jesus said, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another helper so that he may be with you forever. John 16:13, and when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. Have an inner circle of those that give greater credence to the voice of God than they do to natural human reasoning. I love the story of Way Dodge. On August 4th, 1949, a lightning strike started a small fire in the mountains of Montana. 16 men, called smoke jumpers, parachuted into what they thought would be a routine effort. Way Dodge was their leader. They soon found themselves in a race to get away from a fire that was bearing down upon them. The air was 100 degrees, and they were running uphill on a 76-degree slope. With the fire only 200 yards behind them, Way Dodge did the unusual. He stopped, took out some matches, and set a fire in the grass directly in front of him. He then stepped into the burnt area and called out for his crew to join him. That day, only 3 of the 16 survived. Way Dodge survived and 2 others who made it to the top. All of the others were burned to death. Those who died did not know how to survive the crisis, and they also didn't have the ability to listen to a leader that was sensitive to information that they did not have. I want to encourage you. Surround yourself with people that have a walk with God and a sensitivity to God, and it is demonstrated by the fact that they prioritize godly emphasis over natural wisdom. There are times when God speaks and we have to take a stand that puts us into jeopardy. Have friends that will help you get the backbone to stand for what God is speaking to you. Let me give you a fourth quality of an inner circle leader. They're radically obedient in their own personal lives. John 14:23, Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will follow my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our dwelling with him. Who has a great walk with God? Those who are radically obedient to his voice in their lives. Surround yourself with those that have that kind of obedience. I make a major point to have an inner circle of friends that prioritize the voice of God and obedience to Him above my voice in their lives. If my voice is too strong, they're not ready to be in the inner circle because I need them to be hearing from God themselves. I have no place being their conscience. They have to have a walk with God. Let me give you a fifth quality. An inner circle leader prioritizes harmony. These are people that embrace the maxim that is well known through church history, in essentials, unity, in non-essentials, liberty, in all things, charity or love. They're the result of Jesus' prayer in John 17:23. I in them, and you in me, that they may be perfected in unity, Jesus prays, so that the world may know that you sent me and you love them just as you loved me. Jesus prayed for their unity. five qualities for you to consider. I'm just telling you, these qualities are not simply theoretical to me. I am just telling you, these are the qualities that I have in my heart when I am choosing to bring people into the inner circle of my life. I need people, I need leaders specifically, that know that there are major seasons of suffering in ministry, and it's not unusual. They are genuinely humble. Thirdly, they're spiritually discerning, prioritizing that voice of the Spirit above anything natural. They're not opposed to natural reasoning. They just know that God's voice trumps it. Fourthly, these folks are personally obedient. They walk with God first and then walk with others. And fifthly, they prioritize unity. These are people that come together over the essentials and have a tremendous tolerance for things that are opinions and not essential. It's interesting, isn't it? In the last 10 hours that Jesus spent with his leaders between John 13 and John 17, those two chapters serve as bookends. Do you know what was the beginning emphasis of John 13? The friendship of Jesus' leaders with each other. Do you know what was the focus in John 17, that other bookend? The friendship of Jesus' leaders with each other. Friendship is how Jesus started the evening on Thursday night, and an emphasis on friendship is how Jesus ended the evening in prayer for his leaders. I want to end with a quote from Dr. James Dobson and from his book, Hide or Seek. In there, he talks about how to approach therapy for a broken patient, but I'd like to apply it to friendship, because I believe that what he conveyed is what a true inner circle friend needs to be to you and to me, and we need to be to them. Let me share with you the quote. Dr. Dobson said, "The most successful approach to therapy for a broken patient," and again, I'm applying this to friendship, "is to convey the following message with the conviction, though perhaps not with words, this. Life has been tough and you've had your share of suffering. To this point, you've faced your problems without much human support, and there have been times when your despair has been overwhelming. Let me now share that burden. From this moment forward, I'm interested in you as a person. You deserve and shall have my respect. As best as possible, I want you to quit worrying about your troubles. Instead, confide them to me. Our concentration will be on the present and the future, and together we will seek appropriate solutions." What a great disposition of an inner circle friend and leader. I'd like to pray with you. Father, I pray for those listening to this podcast today. Lord, there are those that are right now in their circle, but they need to be brought closer to them. Give them wisdom to see who is available now, who's already in their life and available. But Father, I pray for those that know that there's no one in their life right now that can be that kind of inner circle leader and friend. And I pray for your provision in their lives. I pray for an inner circle to arise of friends and leaders that will get close and surround them, and they will be leaders that they confide into and confide into them. They will bring well-being into their lives, and I pray for that specifically. Provide what is not there in addition to discernment to those that are there that can be brought closer. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. This is Mike Oney, president of Paul to Timothy Institute, encouraging you to head over to paultotimothy.com. Take a look at the resources that we have for you that will empower you, especially as a key leader in your ministry. It's at pauldotimothy.com.